Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
It's pretty dope.
The absolute best choice.
KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
This is a very cool song. Peace Square is his name. Huge artist in Nigeria. Huge artist. It's got a great vibe to it. Fun song. All right, we've been talking a lot about Barcelona and kind of the troubles they're having. Real Madrid got the full 3 points today here, so they now have a 4-point lead in La Liga, and they're in the pole position to win things. But there's no better person to go to than Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Spain. He is in Barcelona, and he's here now to talk to you about all the things going on in the soap opera that is Barcelona, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Jordi, as always, thanks for coming on the program. Now, let's get into Barcelona. The 2-2 draw with Atletico Madrid, not a great match, did not look like the real Barcelona. They've drawn 3 out of the last 4. Obviously, a huge soap opera around a number of different things. Let's first talk about the Antoine Griezmann situation and the fact that he's brought on late, Ansu Fati. How much criticism is Quique Setién getting right now?
The first criticism for Quique Setién is the one from Griezmann's family, because on social media, Griezmann's father has slammed Quique Setién for his decision of putting the Frenchman into the game in the 90th minute. There have been talks of humiliation because, as you know, Antoine Griezmann is a world champion with the French national team. The thing is, Griezmann has difficulties to find his space, his position in Barcelona beside Messi and Luis Suarez. You can see Griezmann's efforts because he tries to find good positions to receive the ball, to find good positions to shot on goal. But It's everything Messi and Suarez, and Griezmann is not on the score sheet for many games. He's not shooting on goal. I wouldn't say maybe difficulties to adapt because he's been here for all season, but it's not easy for him. Quique Setién changed the system in this game against Atletico Madrid. There has been also criticism about this change of system, because as you know, Barcelona has always been 4-3-3 or even 3-4-3 in Johan Cruyff's times and even in some of Pep Guardiola's matches. And he played a diamond 4-4-2 with Riqui Puig behind the two strikers that were Messi and Suarez. This is not Barcelona. People here, the most purist people are fans, orthodox fans of 4-3-3. So when you get that system, first, you're changing Barcelona's idea, the historical Barcelona's idea. And second, you don't give a space to Antoine Griezmann because Griezmann could be a second striker. His abilities make him available for the role of a second striker behind a number 9, maybe. But if you already have a number 10, let's say, in a diamond midfield, Griezmann would clash with, for example, the other day, Riqui Puig. So that's not easy for Griezmann. Quique Setién after the game said, I know this is a difficult situation for Antoine. I understand him. I'll talk to him tomorrow. I won't apologize because it's my decision. I don't have to apologize for a decision I've made. But I understand his frustration. That's it. But the sentence was, the key sentence was, I have to keep Messi and Suarez on the pitch. Even I asked him about that, even if Suarez is not physically 100%. Because as you know, he has had a serious injury. He played his first two matches after the coronavirus outbreak coming from the bench. Then he started in the starting 11 in the following two matches. But you see Suarez, he's not, even if he scored twice in Vigo against Celta, for example, in a physical game like the other day against Atletico.
No, he struggled.
Yeah, he struggled. He really struggled. Setién said, not that much because at the end of the game, Atletico Madrid was always defending, always in their half of the pitch. So the efforts by Suarez didn't need to be continuous efforts. So you didn't need to have Suarez 100%. But you see it. You don't have to be a specialist to see Suarez is struggling physically. So why don't you put Ansu Fati or Antoine Griezmann earlier in the match, not in the 85th minute or in the 90th minute? That's a good question to put to Quique Setién. His answer, everybody who was on the pitch was okay, even Messi and Suarez.
Griezmann has been rotated. We're talking to Jordi Sunyer of TV3. Look, there's so many things swirling around Barcelona right now. Players not playing for the coach. Messi's not in his camp. You got an assistant coach, Eder Sarabia, now, who's entering into the media as being a part of the problem. Are Setién's days numbered? Do you expect to see him relieved of his duties?
There are two different opinions in Barcelona board about that. The thing is, there's not a unity of thought in Barcelona board about Setién's continuity. He will coach Barcelona next Sunday, 10 p.m. Spanish time against Villarreal at the Estadio de la Cerámica. That's for sure. It would be a huge surprise if he was sacked before this game. But if the result is not good at Villarreal, we'll have to wait and see. The message that the club is delivering through its communications department and several people in the director's board is Setién will finish the season 100%. But, for example, if you see the cooling breaks the other day against Atletico Madrid, you see all Atletico Madrid players around Simeone, listening to Simeone, convinced by his explanations. You see Barcelona players that are not listening. And it also happened against Celta Vigo. And there were very graphic TV pictures about that. There is not a Quique Setién. There is not Eder Sarabia, this Setién assistant who plays the role of a backup. When you enter a dressing room such as Barcelona's, you have Champions League winners, World Cup winners. You are a guy who studies the game. Okay, in the theoretical aspect, you are very good. Okay, everything's fine, but you're trying to convince, you are a nobody in the world of football. You haven't played at the first level. And you're trying to convince Messi, for example, who's won the Champions League, the best player in the world right now, maybe one of the best ever. You're trying to convince Luis Suarez. You cannot do that playing the role of a bad cop with these players because they will snub you like they did the other day. That's for sure. So, draw or a defeat at Villarreal would probably change the situation. And after this, there are people in the board that are pushing for the Barça B coach, Francesc Xavier García Pimienta. Why? Because among all coaches in FC Barcelona structure, he's the most orthodox in terms of the Cruyff idea of playing. The 4-3-3. The speed in the circulation of the ball. You see Barcelona B team playing and you have a good time because they play really well and they play to the standard of game that has made Barcelona famous. But there's a huge problem in putting García Pimienta on Barcelona's bench to finish the season. And this problem is called Eric Abidal, sporting director. He doesn't want García Pimienta to finish the season. it seems clear that if things are not going okay, there will be a new coach for next season. Will it be Xavi Hernandez? It's such a great rumor here, but I think Xavi is intelligent enough for not coming this summer.
Has to be the right time for him, right?
Summer 2021 is the right time for him because next summer there are going to be elections for the director's board. A new project will begin. There will be a different president, a different project. That may be the great moment for Xavi Hernandez. Not now, because the great Barcelona is like, you know, there have been press articles here in Spain using that movie Sunset Boulevard. You can't remember that. This is these times right now are Barcelona Sunset Boulevard. Everything is fading out. The great team of the early of 10 years ago, for example, is not there anymore. Players are aging. Messi's 33, Suarez is 33, Piqué's 33. Busquets 71.
Yeah. I mean, shelf life, right? Everybody's got a shelf life. Jordi Sunyer joining us here on TV3. I want to take you into the other part of this drama and soap opera is the famed La Masia. There's some problems there. Mark Jurado heading to Manchester United. Here's a kid who's been there since he's 9 years old, right? Mm-hmm. That's got to rip the heart out of Barcelona to lose a kid that's been there that long. Eric Garcia Bernabe going to City. Are there big problems in La Masia too, and then the sort of the football factory that is Barcelona?
The thing is, there's a financial problem in Barcelona that avoids the director's board to present the players with good financial offers. In addition, there's another problem that these players leave, for example, Eric García Bernabé, Jordan Bula went to Monaco for example, or Sergio Gomez to Borussia Dortmund, or Mateo Morey with Borussia Dortmund. These players leave Barcelona for financial reasons, but also because they think their route to the first team is full of obstacles, is full of fences. Because
not enough potential.
Not that they don't have enough potential.
No, I mean, potential, the pathway first team.
That's it. Because you see, for example, for Barça B team, they are signing young Brazilian players or players on loan from Spanish second division teams, players who are not born and bred in La Masia. So the pathway is closed. They feel the pathway is closed. Ooh. So they leave. Then, for example, Sergio Gomez is playing on loan in Huesca in the Spanish second division. Jordan Bula is also playing for Huesca in the Spanish second division, also on loan. Okay, Eric García has got playing time with Manchester City, with Pep Guardiola, but not all these players have become first division players when they are 20 or 21. That's what they thought when they left Barcelona. It's not that easy. Outside, we always say here, outside Barcelona, it's very cold. And in part, that's true. But apart from all these things regarding these players, the sensation, the feeling is that Barcelona is losing strength in La Masia. Because, let's say, 10 years ago, you saw all teams from all categories winning their leagues easily with many points of advantage. They don't do that now. Espanyol, other teams are pushing, and it's not that easy for Barcelona to win leagues in all categories. So there are problems in La Masia, really, and the new president is expected to have a good plan for recovering the best days of Barcelona's academy, which seem past now these days.
All right, we got part two with Jordi Sunyer coming up from TV3. This is really, really interesting stuff coming from Barcelona. By the way, when you saw Griezmann being brought into the game in the 90th minute, did you see El Cholo Diego Simeone's reaction? And by the way, he said he was surprised that his former striker, Antoine Griezmann, came on that late in the game. Humiliating? I got to think it was for Griezmann. At that point, why even put him on? All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Part two, Jordy Sunyer, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Big thank you to Adam Lundquist. What a nice guy. And what a great left foot as well. Looking forward to watching him motoring up and down the left side for the Dynamo in the MLS's back tournament. That song, Gary Numan, We Take Mystery to Bed. Actually heard that song first when I was in Newcastle one summer with some of my college teammates. Great experience. I will tell you, though, I never got in as many fistfights in my life. It was like, let's take a crack at the American kid. You know, Aaron, I had to duke it a lot over there, and it came out of nowhere sometimes. So I kind of realized after the first week I need to be prepared.
Yeah, have to have your head on a swivel.
Well, there was tons of unemployment and, of course, big drinking culture. I went to the Clash concert at the Newcastle Civic Center, which was unbelievable. And I was the only person in there without a leather jacket on. I also saw the Police in Gateshead, England, and in the same time period. And the opening act was Rat Scabies and then a band called U2. And they stole a show almost from the Police, who were from the Newcastle area. All right, anyway, let's get on to part two here. Jordy Sunyer from TV3 in Barcelona.
Jordy Sunyer joining us from TV3. Jordy, I'm going to volley some quick questions to you. I want to get through a bunch here real quick in the next eight minutes or so. So let's fire away here. I want to start off. First of all, I just want to start off with Lionel Messi, the 700th goal. Obviously, this is secondary now to the performance of Barcelona. How's that being taken in Barcelona right now?
Secondary for the performance of Barcelona and of Leo Messi also, because it was a penalty kick. After the coronavirus outbreak, the only goal that Messi has scored in open play was in Mallorca, and it was the 0-4. It was the last goal of the game. It was not a decisive goal on the game. So you see Messi playing, he tries, but he's also struggling with the rest of the team. The thing is, Barca is finding a lot of difficulties when they arrive to the opponent's area. It seems that they are not able to find that last pass or that shot position which they were able to find with more easily in days past. And you see that in Messi. Messi can't do everything now. Even if we thought of let's say a more midfielder Messi, as he's 33, he's getting older. He goes down to the middle of the pitch to take the ball and try to drive Barcelona's attack, but he's not finding his best. Okay, it's a figure that's extraordinary. There are few players in the history of football that have scored 700 goals. We have to talk about Gerd Müller, Cristiano Ronaldo, Pele, Pepe Bitzan, the great Austrian striker of the
1930s.
Puskas. Yeah, but we had to speak about Messi, about his 700th goal, but there are serious concerns about Messi's performance these days that have really overshadowed this figure.
Jordy Sunyer, TV3. Conrad De La Fuente is an American kid. He is at Barcelona. He's been promoted to the B team. Give us your thoughts on him.
good player with a good capacity of breaking through the flanks. He's a quick player, good technique. He was near leaving Barcelona last January, but finally they have managed. Barcelona has managed to keep him. A very useful player, I think, if Barcelona B team can get promoted to the second division, which is the first professional division in Spain. Playoffs are going to be played on 18th and 25th of this month of July. And it would be very good for him to get a full season on the second division and learning his trade in a professional division. That can give him options for being considered for the first team, because he's really a good player. He's born in Miami, but he's living. He has been living in Barcelona for several years, so he has been he has grown in football in Barcelona. Good possibilities. He's such a good player. I have seen him playing for the youth team. Can be a good asset for Barcelona.
We're talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, Spain. Do you feel La Liga has lost some of its commercial appeal without the foil to Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo at Real Madrid? Curious.
Maybe. The thing is, La Liga has got great players. It's true that La Liga marketing was focused in past years in this fight between Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But you have Luis Suarez, you have in Real Madrid, Eden Hazard, you have Karim Benzema. I love Karim Benzema. It's not everybody understands Karim Benzema, but it's such an extraordinary striker. He plays like a striker in the modern game should play. He's not your classical number nine. He's the most complete striker you can find right now. He's a world-class player. You have Antoine Griezmann. You have a good Atletico Madrid squad also with João Félix, the Portuguese, with Diego Costa. You have very good players. It's not easy to get out of this fight Messi-Cristiano Ronaldo, because in Spain, you may find it's not like in England. A football fan from, let's say, Granada can be a Granada fan, but he always be also fan of either Barcelona or Real Madrid. So in Spain, you are either you have sympathy for one or for the other, and that's not easy to erase from fans' minds. But I think La Liga's appeal worldwide, even without Cristiano Ronaldo, maybe lost a little bit, but with all the great players they have, the appeal, I think, it's nearly the same that they had when Messi and Cristiano were playing together in La Liga.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3. All right, as we continue on a little bit with Real Madrid, when Zidane inherited the team, that's kind of what everybody said, you know. Oh, he's just inheriting a great team, and he's been very successful. They've gotten the results. He didn't have to do much. Yada, yada, yada. But now this team without Cristiano Ronaldo, I think Zinedine Zidane has proven to us he is a pretty good manager. He's also dealt with James Rodriguez not being able to get into the starting lineup. Your thoughts on Zinedine Zidane and what he's done at Real Madrid?
Kudos to Zinedine Zidane, because when he arrived at Real Madrid for the second time, one of the most extended commentaries or most widespread, commentaries on Zinedine Zidane was It's not good. Second parts are not always good. He will return, but his best days are already past. He won everything he won. Okay, there were great times for Real Madrid. He won't make it. It's very difficult. It's a difficult dressing room. He has proved he's such a great manager. Real Madrid has had a tradition of managers who know how to act in the dressing room. As I said before, these are dressing rooms with Champions League winners, world champions, for example, like Sergio Ramos, which is the captain for Real Madrid. players with a lot of power. So you need someone who knows that and has who knows how to cope with all these players. And Barca has struggled to find these men, and Real Madrid has found these men first in Zinedine Zidane, like they did with Vicente del Bosque, which was also the Spanish national coach in the early noughties. The thing was, Vicente del Bosque was not fashionable. You know him. He's such a humble man who was not a star for Real Madrid, who was even mocked by the press. They gave him the nickname of Mr. Potato, because of that mustache and so on.
But you got the Spanish press, you aren't nice sometimes.
It's a very partisan press. You have the two Barcelona newspapers, Sport and El Mundo Deportivo. There is a third one in Catalan language, which is called Esportiu, which is more balanced. But Sport and El Mundo Deportivo in Barcelona are hugely in favor of Barcelona. And then you have the two newspapers in Madrid, Marca and AS, which are hugely in favor of Real Madrid. That happens in Latin countries, in Spain, in Italy, in Greece. The sports newspapers are partisan, so it's not that easy. But as I said, Del Bosque did very well. He was not fashionable. Maybe Zinedine Zidane is more fashionable. Their football knowledge is the same between Del Bosque and Zidane, I mean. But Zidane won the Champions League for Real Madrid. He's younger. He's more marketable, let's say. But they've really found the right man in coping with all these stars in the Real Madrid dressing room.
Jordi, as always, we thank you so much for coming on the program. Thanks for giving it to us straight from Barcelona. Your knowledge is limitless, and we look forward to having you on the show again.
It has a limit, but it's a pleasure to share everything we try to know here in Barcelona with you and with all your listeners. Such a pleasure.
Thank you, Jordi.
What a gentleman. Great guy, and just really bringing some insight that, you know, you can only get when you're over there. And he went on to talk to me about, you know, how certain newspapers are Barcelona newspapers, others are Real Madrid. I mean, these are all things that, to some degree, you would expect. I'll tell you, Zinedine Zidane, you got to give him a lot of credit, because so many people, after he won the titles with Ronaldo, and he just inherited a good team, he had nothing to do. Well, that's nonsense. He's obviously got the locker room. Hey, remember Jaimes Rodriguez? He's having to deal with that problem, as we just talked about. So, here's a guy that's saying, hey, I want to be playing. And, you know, you got to deal with it. And, you know, the best way I always have thought as a player, and this I would just say from my experiences when I played at the pro level, just tell me the truth. Because at least if I get the truth from you, I know how to progress. Coaches that dance with players, that aren't honest with them, that aren't up front with them, and I think this applies to youth soccer players as well, especially when they get older, you're going to have problems. If you tell people where they stand, then they can figure out how to progress. But honesty has always worked. And you know what? Disappointment's a part of everyone's life. It's a part of player development. It's a part of human development. But if you're told, you know, straight up kind of what's going on, maybe why you're not starting or why you're not in the 18, these are positive things, and you can respond to it then. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish the show off tonight with Amobi Okugo. And Amobi is a defender midfielder for Austin Bold FC, and the USL Championship is coming back. They're going to play. I know we're hearing a lot of these COVID, positives from different players in different leagues, but I don't think we didn't think that was going to happen, right? I mean, let's be real. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Yeah.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Thank you very much for that, Voice of God. This is the Rival Sons from the album Great Western Valkyrie. Tremendous song, tremendous album. If you never heard of the Rival Sons, get it into your collection. A couple of things here. Remember, Manchester City's still in the Champions League. So that result today, playing into getting back into the Champions League, is a great result. No question. Other thing that's out there, U.S.'s Weston McKennie is open to leaving Schalke. And then, as predictable as it may come, Jose Mourinho, after the 3-1 loss today to Sheffield United, is not happy. And I think Jose said they were again victims. Boy, talk about a guy who is all around being the victim constantly and laying the blame on others. Quote, "I think the referee should always be the man on the pitch and the man in the office should support and assist," Mourinho said of the incident. That's not the way it was. "Especially a referee who's not very good. We can't expect them to be very good in the office. We're going into a direction that's very bad for a game, which was the game that everybody fell in love with." Okay, Jose is going to wax poetic now since they got beat 3-1. All right, let's move on. We will get Amobi Okugo now, plays for Austin Bold FC. He was a youth national team member for the United States. He's playing up in Austin now for the Bold. He also has spent a lot of time in Major League Soccer again over the years, played at UCLA. Here's my interview with Amobi Okugo. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on the Horn here in Austin, Texas. As always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. Now, John and his firm, they're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but, you know, you might get in a fender bender, a boat accident, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler. John and his firm will have you covered. DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710. Now, there was a little talk that maybe USL Pro would not come back, and that would have meant that the Austin Bold FC would not have been in action. But the good news is USL Pro is expected to come back. Austin Bold FC in training, and we caught up with one of their very talented defender midfielders. You know him from Major League Soccer as well. Played soccer at UCLA, Amobi Okugo.
Well, Amobi, let me just start off by asking you, you know, how have you handled the COVID-19 situation? Because it is a mental test for all of us. And how does that relate to training and getting prepared with the Bold right now?
Yeah, it's been a little unorthodox to go 3-4 months without really getting that game fitness. It's not like preseason where you can kind of just like ease your way back. It's like a shortened heightened preseason. So we've been back for about a week now. And, you know, basically instead of doing like the protocol, like getting into fitness and doing it, it's like we're going straight to tactical, we're going straight to playing. And it's been quite a unique experience.
Yeah, and you guys, Austin Bold FC is going to be in action, their first game on July 17th. You know, the standard question everybody asks is, what have you learned during this period? Because, you know, as Americans, we're all used to being out there doing things, and all of a sudden, You know, maybe we're spending more time by ourselves. And what have you learned during this?
For me personally, I've been able to learn a lot just in terms of, because I had the opportunity to go back home with my family in California. So just like how much we miss as professional athletes, you know, graduations, birthdays, celebrations. Unfortunately, you know, we still have to stay inside and stay safe. But, you know, this is like probably the first time in quite some time where I was able to see my mom on Mother's Day, see my mom on her birthday, see my brother on his birthday, see my sister. They both graduated. So we were all in the house watching virtual graduations. While, you know, as much as we would have liked to be outside and, you know, similar or normal circumstances, to be able to like be present in those moments, it goes unnoticed, especially as a professional athlete.
Austin Bold FC's Amobi Okugo joining us. Really appreciate this. Is there a newfound respect for the game that you love and play?
Yes. To be honest, yes. I've been in situations where, you know, I've been out the game for a little bit or getting traded, but this is a whole different ball game. And to understand like the implications of, you know, your health, you know, outside of like just like a, whether rolling an ankle or a knee injury or something like that, concussion, this is actually like a pandemic, and it's not just affecting you, but it's affecting all the stakeholders involved. So, you know, if I got injured in my knee, it's like I'm only worried about myself, but the people that are risking their lives, you know, coaches, medical staff, front office, everyone involved, it's really put a good speculation on how big soccer is outside of ourselves.
A few things about Amobi. 4 years for the Philadelphia Union, Orlando City, Sporting Kansas City, Portland, the Austin Bold. Okay, so like a lot of American players, the journey or the road sometimes goes on forever. It certainly did for me in the 80s, bouncing around the teams and hoping they had money. You know, you've been a pretty well-traveled guy. When you look back at that, what do you say to yourself?
Blessed, because at some point someone always wanted you, someone didn't want you at the same time. But for me personally, to be able to play for so many different clubs, different communities, different cultures within the club, different ownership groups, to have the opportunity to develop new teammates and friendships, it's been a blessing. You know, I still have relationships with Philadelphia, Orlando, Kansas City, and then Portland, and then now Austin. So I take it as a blessing in disguise to have had the opportunity to have a unique experience in the sense of like getting exposed to different environments and different coaches and different soccer styles.
Well, you got a different coach in Marcelo Serrano, right? You got a real mix on Austin Bold FC, a real mix of players. What type of coach is he? Where does he fit into the type of coaches you've had, and what's very unique about him?
Yeah, Coach Marcelo is very unique in the sense of that he's like a philosopher. The fact that he's able to get so many different people to play together in unison, it's an amazing accomplishment. Like, we have like World Cup veteran and Edson. We got Champions League players with Kleber, young guys, internationals, Jermaine Taylor, someone you know personally.
Yeah.
And then like, it's a weird combination of players that you don't really see across many teams, whether it's MLS or USL. And for him to be able to get everyone together, you know, singing one song has been really amazing. Him as a coach, you know, he knows when to be hard on you and he knows when to, you know, take it lightly. So a lot of coaches, they only have one speed, whereas Marcelo, depending on the, you know, player he's trying to teach or, you know, construct, he might use a different angle. And that's why me and him have such a great relationship, because he knows when to go hard on me. He knows when I might just need like some time to myself to, you know, really get into the zone.
All right. So holding mid, center back, what's your preference? Because I've seen you play both those positions. I've seen you play both of them very well.
Yeah, for me, I like holding mid because I feel like you're the transition piece between defense to offense, offense to defense. Center back, you know, people used to say I hated center back, and that was never the case. Center back's fun. It's just that I hate the fact that you could play 89 minutes perfect, and that 1 minute you slip up, That's all they remember. So it comes with the territory of center back, but I just like to be on the field. I'll play anywhere.
Moby Okugo joining us, Austin Bold FC. All right. When I look at the position of holding mid, or the number six, let's say it's called, you think that's the most important position in the modern game now?
The modern game? Not anymore. I think you can get away with it now. The way the modern game's going, like you need proper outside backs, because the way teams are, like, their formation style, like, if you don't have two outside backs that can, you know, that are comfortable with the ball, that have the, you know, fitness levels to go up and down, then it's really hard, because people just clog the middle. If a player is in the midfield, yes, they can make the passes. Yes, they can, you know, break up tackles, but they're not, you're not going to beat a team through the middle unless you're, you know, you have Messi on your squad. So I would say, yeah, I would say outside backs are the most lethal positions right now.
All right. What's the team you watch in world football the most? Who's your team?
I'm Chelsea.
Chelsea guys. So you must like what's going on with Frank Lampard and youth coming in. Now you got coming from Red Bull Leipzig, Timo Werner, Pulisic's playing well. Tell me about
I'm so excited. Not only because we have, you know, Lampard, you know, Chelsea legend coaching, but he's really developing the youth. Like, that's something that Chelsea didn't really have in the past, you know, since they've been good 15, 20 years. So you can see they're set up for the future. You know, Pulisic, Werner, Zilchis come in, Hudson-Odoi. Hopefully we can keep Conte, you know, so we have a good solid core, and I think they're just going to be continue to build on it. Obviously it's going to be tough to compete with Liverpool and Man City, but if we could stay sharp, maybe get one or two more pieces, I'm willing to back them through and through.
Well, we might have to bring you on as our Chelsea expert here as we move forward, as they continue to grow. Talking to Moby Okugo, Austin Bold FC. How about the Austin community soccer-wise? I've known it for many, many years, all the way back to the days when Wolfgang Sunholz was really developing the youth game. Now it's got the Austin Bold FC. You became the first pro team there. Now it's got Austin FC coming in. Tell me about your perception of the soccer community that is Austin, Texas.
I was actually really surprised. I knew Austin had potential. People kept talking about it, and I knew Austin was like a young city. But when you think Texas, you think football. So when I first got here, outside of, you know, what we do with Austin Bold, but just like, you know, the soccer bar scene and, you know, the atmosphere with the youth sports, Lone Star is a very, very big club out here. And people are excited. You know, they ask questions about, oh, Austin FC, is their stadium? Do you know if their stadium's being built? Like, when is it live? Like, people are like intrigued, and I've had the fortune and the pleasure of playing for, you know, two expansion teams and a team that was fairly new but had a lot of history in Portland, and you can see some similarities in the, you know, the buzz around the city.
Yeah, no question about it. Moby Okugo joining us. You guys are going to be grouped with San Antonio FC, FC Tulsa, Oklahoma City Energy, and then the Rio Grande Valley. So what I like about this group is familiarity breeds a bit of contempt. I mean, these are all teams that are close regionally, which I love, and there's some great rivalry there. Your thoughts on the group?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough group. I know we played San Antonio last year. You know, we beat them the first game, second game. But when you play a team multiple times, you know, we went down there last year. They smacked us up. So, you know, there's a little rivalry there. You know, we play Rio Grande Valley. They always give us a tough time, whether it's home or away. And then the Oklahoma teams, Tulsa and Oklahoma, they're always a battle. So to be able to see familiar faces, it's going to be fun, while at the same time kind of be kind of tough, because it's hard to beat a team twice, let alone three times, if that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, it's an exciting group. It's Group D for Austin Bold FC. Were you ever concerned that the USL Championship wasn't going to come back? And boy, I mean, if you were thinking like that, you know, that's some deep thought, maybe.
Yeah, it was really tough. You know, I'm part of the Players Association for USL, and like, there was a lot of rumors going around, you know, on Twitter. You know, people are getting information from agents, from clubs. So, you know, it was tough to handle all the, you know, the information overload. And then fortunately, you know, the league and the owners and the Players Association got together and was able to make something happen. So we're all very fortunate of the situation at hand. We know a lot of people have been affected with COVID-19 and still continue to this day be affected. But for everyone to come together and realize the responsibility it takes to get this done, it's really amazing to have.
Yeah. Do you ever look at it like that? Because this is a very significant time in this country's history with this COVID and everything that it's done to affect everybody's lifestyle. Do you think about that a little bit and navigating this and the importance of navigating it the best you can?
Yeah, that was a big talking point, you know, not only for myself, but other people involved. You know, there's other stakeholders at play, you know, not just the players, not just the staff, but, you know, the people that help out on game days and, you know, different situations like that. So, you know, you never really, I feel like people don't really put into perspective until they actually, you know, can have a tangible, this person's sick. And unfortunately, we shouldn't have to wait for that to happen. So for everyone to come together and understand the risks that are still involved of playing and understand that, you know, they're going to be disciplined and make sure safety protocol is paramount. It just shows that people are, you know, selfless in this current time, because there was really no blueprint on how to handle this.
Amobi, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to seeing you playing with Austin Bold FC. Best of luck in the upcoming USL Championship matches and your group play. And as always, thank you very much for coming on the program.
No, always a pleasure to connect with you and look forward to catching up soon.
We'll do it again. Thank you, Amobi.
All right, so great interview there with Amobi Okugo. Austin Bold FC, if you know, plays out at COTA. And, of course, with Austin FC coming into the league next year, it's going to make it even more interesting, more exciting. It's a great soccer market, Austin, Texas. It's going to set the bar. It's going to create a great competition between the Houston Dynamo, FC Dallas, and Austin FC. And I think for all of us, it's exciting to see this competition continue. Another thing we got to continue to push here in Houston, Texas, is healthy pressure. And that comes through radio shows like this and people writing critically about the game in a healthy and fair way. And I hope that will continue in the future. We need that. Big thank you to all of you who tuned in tonight. Podcasts are at podcastarena.com. iTunes also. Thank you to Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona TV3, Amobi Okugo of Austin Bold FC, Matt Jordan, the GM of the Houston Dynamo. Good stuff with him. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters, glendavissoccer.com. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You have kept us on during COVID. There were some nervous moments here about losing the show. You've kept us on. Kofi Sarkodie, thank you for getting me Amobi Okugo. Aaron Raybould, Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, thank you all for your hard work. From the home studios of Glenn Davis, I just say, yeah!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.